I'm Dr. Victor Freeze.
I'm Lenny Luther.
I'm the Architect.
Which makes this an ice to see you lethal watching. Living hell with another world. Nice to see you.
Oh, the puns.
You won't put me in the cooler.
You won't put me in the cooler.
Hello, lethal. Whoa, I just kicked my computer. Hold on.
Don't kick my computer, man.
Okay, we're good. Hello, lethal listeners.
Hello.
Hello.
Holy shit, you're not Martin.
I'm not Martin, no. I've never seen Star Trek.
Yay. Martin is gone.
Martin's gone to London.
I think he's in London, yeah.
He's in London. Dude. I just realised I've not started my recording, so I'm going to go now. What the hell?
Yeah, it's all right. I've been recording.
Cool. Yeah, so we got a ringer in for this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's unemployed and doesn't have anything else to do.
Yeah, pretty much. Been to sign on today. Now I've got nothing to do for 2 weeks. So how's it going?
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. That's our expert for today.
What's his name again?
Ryan. I want to be the lady.
I want to be the lady. That's good. We don't even need to try and
don't need to find it now. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't need to find it wherever it was. Randomly.
Done.
Yeah. Excellent.
So what are we all
just say that randomly at just various points?
Yeah. It's going to make the edit a lot easier.
Editing it in. Yeah.
Because the sound clip is so small, it's really hard to move it around the screen. You've got to zoom right in to move it around, and you can't see where you're putting it. It's just a nightmare.
I'll just drop it in as often as I can.
Please, please do. Yeah. Please do. Yes. So.
I wanted to cut and paste. So, what are we doing this week? Did we tell people what we were doing? No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Because we didn't know what we were doing last week, because we just kind of rambled on mercilessly.
Flying by the seat of the pants.
Yes, by the seat of Ryan's pants.
Well, you are.
Yeah. But yeah, we're doing what is it? Like Franchise Killers.
Yeah, well, so was it Franchise Killers, I suppose, bad sequels or something in and around that kind of.
Yeah, films that just, like, they were made, and because of that, no more were made. Because they were bad.
Yes.
They were bad.
Yes.
Bad!
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 Films that are not so ice.
No, not so ice.
That's the
wise at all.
Good one.
So I can't even remember who came up with the list.
It was the Do You Inverts.
The Do You Inverts came up with the list, and we all went, yeah, fine, that's a pretty decent list.
We're not going to have them actually on the podcast, even though it was their idea, because they're French, technically.
And they're too busy eating onions.
Onions! And being killed by Liam Neeson.
Yes. Sword fighting with baguettes.
Oh, we should totally do that. Right, let's sword fight with baguettes. Well, that's not slang, so put your trousers back on.
Yay! It shows what you were thinking if you felt the need to defend it.
I was taking my trousers off, in fairness.
He was, yeah. So, we're doing a film each, aren't we? I'm doing Batman and Robin.
Oh, hideous.
Ryan's doing
The Matrix. The sequels. All of them then.
Jesus. And Jared's doing
Superman 4.
Ooh! Oh, that should be real.
That should be real. That's
be real.
That is the problem.
It's
a real thing.
Oh, so this is going to be a good show. Oh. And it's going to last about 2 hours, so it finishes after 9 o'clock. So Jared gets in trouble with the wife.
No.
Yes. So I think we should go in reverse chronological order, so Ryan goes first.
Okay. Sounds fine.
He's not prepared. He doesn't know what to do.
No, I'm well prepared, isn't he?
No, you're not.
Right.
program, Smith has grown beyond your control. You cannot stop him, but I can.
And if you fail,
I won't.
Do you know what happened to Neo?
He is trapped in a place between this world and the machine world.
So, in 1999...
Are you starting now? Start whenever you want.
I'll start now.
Start now, it's fine.
In 1999, a film called The Matrix was released. It was pretty amazing. We walked out of college in the middle of the day and all went to see it.
We did, didn't we? We walked out of college. Saw it twice.
Yeah, remember walking out of there thinking, this is amazing, everything's changed, it's going to be... Cinema's going to be great from now on.
Yeah, that was it.
Idealistic youngsters.
It's cinema. It's like, yes, things are good now. Things will be fine.
We were in the middle of a media production course, and we were like, oh, we want to do that.
We can do that.
Turns out you can't do that unless you've got quite a lot of money.
We haven't done anything.
Yeah, but it was amazing. You see Bullet Time for the first time. That was fantastic. Everything's slowing down, he's spinning around, the camera's flying around and everything's freezing. They got the bit in there when they're walking through with a woman in a red dress and all the crowd freeze. That's amazing. I like, there's lots of freeze framing.
You like freeze framing?
I like the freezing.
You like the freezing?
But, I think my favourite bit in that was there when they're walking into the lobby of the building to get Morpheus. Yeah. And it gets shot the fuck up.
Yeah, that's good, that bit, yeah. Yeah.
Pillars falling apart. And
so that sounds amazing. That film just sounds perfect.
It is amazing. So you get to the end of that film.
You couldn't mess that up.
You couldn't mess it up, could you?
You've seen all this amazing stuff. You see a helicopter crash into a building and a giant glass explosion, and it gets right to the end. You think, oh, this is going to be it. He flies off into the air, and Rage Against the Machine come on with Wake Up, and the credits roll, and you think, oh, this is going to be brilliant.
It's going to be good, that's good.
Then rumours start circulating that they're making some sequels. And like,
no way, Ryan.
Oh, wow. How long are we going to have to do that? How long? It turns out 4 years.
Was it really 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. Well, it was a month off 4 years. From
wow.
That
is a long time to think about it, isn't it?
It's a hell of a long time. You would have thought in 4 years you could make some really good films. But
or write a decent script.
Yeah. So the second one comes out in May 2003.
I remember the hype for that film being spectacular.
Yeah.
I remember drinking green Powerade just because of that film. Matrix Powerade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember downloading the Super Bowl, taking 6 hours to download the Super Bowl trailer in the high-quality QuickTime video. Because that trailer was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Everyone thought, this is going to be brilliant.
It's like Bullet Time, but with car chases. Mm. How could you screw that up?
Well, how? It starts well. Trinity backflips off a motorbike and kicks some ass. Going good here. But then, oh, that's just a dream. And now we're on the Nebuchadnezzar going to Zion. And for me, pretty much as soon as they get to Zion, it starts going south a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to see that shit. You want the Matrix. No Matrix, no good.
Yeah, so, who wants to be in the real world? Are they just kind of walk around?
Yeah, wearing shitty jumpers. Rubbish. I want to see some leather coats and sunglasses that don't need arms. But anyway, so they come out and lift Neo and Trinity, and then everyone's treating Neo, he's the one, he's like Jesus, and they're like, oh, can you heal my kid and everything? He's like, oh yeah, I'll try, see what I can do. So that's the starts going downhill from there. But I've pinpointed to the very second exactly where it goes wrong.
Okay.
After the counselor and Morpheus has addressed everyone, 26 minutes and 47 seconds into the second film, there is a massive, big, gay rave to tribal drums. And while Neo and Trinity have the most awkward-looking sex I think I've ever seen.
You've seen a lot of sex. I want to clarify that right now. Ryan has seen a lot of sexual
really action. I've had videos. A little bit, and I've seen loads. Because I like to look out of my window with a telescope.
I think the last time I saw that uncomfortable sex was in The End of the Affair with one of the... Oh, who was it? One of the Thingy Brothers. Not Neeson.
Oh, yeah, Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes. Yeah. His huge buttocks on screen.
Yeah, that was nasty.
That was uncomfortable. But seeing Keanu Reeves' buttocks...
Yeah, it was a bit wrong. I've seen rape scenes in Oz look more natural than this.
That's bad.
That's where it starts. That's where it starts going down. You've got 5 minutes of this. 5 minutes cutting between...
It really just goes on forever, doesn't it?
And yeah. That's just wrong. But then... they go eventually, they go back to the Matrix, and it starts, you think, oh, it's going to be good here. But then
it's
they
the
go,
Matrix, clearly.
Yeah. And then they have the 100 Smiths fight, which that is amazing. That's
really I think the effects are starting to look a bit ropey.
It's like very rubbery and sort of bendy.
But it's still really exhilarating. The way the pacing of the fight scene is top notch. The way it builds. I still like that sequence.
I do a lot, yeah. And I don't think it did look that bad. I thought most of the
effects... At the time, it was amazing.
I thought, still, watching it over the weekend, I thought they still...
Watching one of the extras, and they said that with the 100 Smith fight, they filmed... what's his name's face? Agent Smith's face?
Yeah.
With a special camera. Like a high-definition camera. And they rigged it so they were getting like a direct feed from the lens straight into a computer. They were bypassing all the, you know, the electrical equipment in the camera, and it's putting data. I think it was 3 gigabytes per second of data.
Really? Yeah. That's good. That's going to take a while to render.
Yeah. So they use that to do all the heads from the different Smiths.
So that's good. You see that and you think,
that's good, yeah.
Don't worry, the film's going somewhere now.
Yeah, it's picking up now, isn't it? It's taking an hour to get here, but...
But then we get to the Frenchman, and he annoys me.
He's
rubbish. But then... 1 hour, 15 minutes, and you get two silver-clad, dreadlocked twins who kind of turn into ghosts out of rubbish.
Wait. Are you this is the virus twins, yes?
Yeah, oh, shit.
Are you having a go at them?
Fuck the twins.
I like the twins. I think the twins should be, they should be more in it.
No.
So, I can live without the twins.
What?
Totally. They ruin it, but then we get onto the freeway. That saves the film again for a little bit.
Yeah, the twins in the freeway sequence are top notch.
They're all right.
They're top notch.
There they go. It's all better once they're gone.
The freeway sequence is actually all right. It's not.
It's amazing. It's like the freeway 15 minutes again. Long.
That? Yeah, that really, still holds really up. Good. Oh, yeah, that still holds
amazing.
Up.
When the two trucks go into each other, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean,
but the whole build up to it, I think, it's still the whole sequence is like a really top notch, well edited action sequence.
Yeah.
It's
such a weird film because there are some parts of it are so awesome, and yet it's just at times so unbelievably awful.
Yeah,
it's just the pacing of it. Like Ryan said, you know, you get to the disco, like the first bit in Zion is about what, 40 minutes, 30 minutes,
yeah, something like that,
and it just. Like, it just distorts the whole film. The pacing of it is just so bad. Mm-hmm. And it just takes so long to go anywhere. And Neo's all going, oh, God, it's so horrible being the one.
Yeah, I didn't ask. Shit.
I can bloody fly and shit. Yeah.
You see, what they got wrong is, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Neo in the first film was like a computer geek, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He then basically goes into Tron world and finds out he's like a superhero.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah, and he saves the world basically at the end of the first film. Yeah,
yes.
So at the beginning of the second film, he should be like, "Look at me, I'm the fucking one. How badass am I?
I can fly, bitches.
I can fly, bitches. I mean, look at my bad self."
Yeah, I mean,
not.
It's because pretty much after the first film, spoiler alert, where he gets shot.
Yeah.
And comes back to life, and he's basically kick-ass. You know, he's just basically like he does that. You know the bit where he does that flex, like the world around him goes.
Yeah.
And then he basically just takes Smith apart, and then flies off. Then you think this guy is like the awesome shit, and then all he does is go, it's so horrible.
Yeah.
I can do all these really cool things, and it's really, really rubbish.
Imagine if one of us got those powers.
Yeah.
Imagine how unbearably smug any of us would be.
It would be like...
starting fights with big blokes.
Yeah.
Obviously,
in the context of The Matrix, obviously I wouldn't start in real life because I have no those skills in real life. But in the America, you, big guy, come to The Matrix, I'll kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't like about the film. Neo's such a drag. He's such like a little... Although Keanu's acting's not that good at the best of times.
Whiny bitch.
He's just... Exactly, whiny bitch.
Mm.
Whiny bitch Neo. But the freeway sequence is top-notch.
Yeah, freeway, brilliant. But then we get to... Well, eventually...
The only thing you haven't mentioned about the second film is the gobbledygook, the bit at the end.
I think you just get into it.
And yeah, here we go. So... After he's met the keymaker, he goes through some doors, gets into a room full of TVs, monitors, and you think, oh, what's going on here?
Weird. Yeah, that's a well-edited little secret. They kind of go into the monitors and zoom out the monitors and stuff.
What's going on here? It seems like it's the bloke from KFC without his glasses. no, it's not. is the fucking architect. Ergo, vis-a-vis, apropos. And he tells Neo that he is the sixth anomaly. So he's basically the sixth one. Five other versions of himself have never made it there. So he's basically the meta one, the onest one there is. And he
he's the Jet Li one.
So he's now gives him choice. You can go and save Trinity, or you can go back to Zyard and save some people. And he's like, oh, I'll go with my missus. And stick his hand through her in Codeland and pull out
now,
a bullet.
The bit where he flies off to rescue her and all the cars are in his way.
That bit was quite good.
That is amazing.
That's, yeah,
that really should be good in a Superman film, frankly.
Mm.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Parts of that film probably could have made it much better, would have been much cooler in a Superman film.
Yeah, yeah. And then it just ends, doesn't it?
Well, yes. He ends up in a coma, and that's it. It says to be concluded, but then you get some Rage Against the Machine, kind of like a bomb. Nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, that
good
was...
end. It's all right. It was a bit bollocks.
Bit rubbish in place.
I think I remember coming out of the second one and not having real great hit against it.
It's what you figured the third film's going to sort it all out for you.
Yeah,
you kind of came out
thinking, well, you know what? The first one was really amazing. That one's kind of, you know, some pretty good bits in it. You know, looked at the time, despite what you think about the rest of it, the special effects were probably top of the top that they could have been at that
point. Yeah.
Well, they had to invent new technology just to come up.
But, you think, well, I'm kind of still, excited for the third one.
The goodwill from the first one was still there, wasn't it? Yeah. We were still believing in it, you know.
And how long have I got to wait? Is it another 4 years? No, it's only 6 months. Yeah. It's only until November.
Wait, quick. Little diversion. Enter the Matrix, the game. Was that out in between then?
Yeah, that was the whole plot was that they made that game to try and fit it in between to bridge.
Yeah, because you played as Niobe, didn't you?
You played as Niobe, and then I think it had to basically just had to release it, and that's why it was a bit shit because it wasn't sort of finished.
Yeah, it was good in places, but there were some awkward things in the game that kind of broke it for me. Like they just randomly stop you healing before a boss battle. Pissed me off, that did. Fucking airport battle. Shit annoying that.
I actually never played it.
Wasn't perfect. Yeah, I played it.
It spoiled
there was
the,
that one, and there was the other one as well. Apart from
that came out afterwards, didn't it?
Yeah, that was better.
The Enter the Matrix spoiled the big truck crash because it was on the disc at the end of the level. It did the truck smash each other? So you saw it before you saw it at the cinema, like a little grainy FMV movie. Bit rubs really, but but hey, we still liked it. You know, it was still the Matrix.
So hey, we're still quite excited. Let's wait 6 months. Go see Revolutions, which starts off badly. Because where the other two start off with real kick-ass fights, both for Trinity, this one starts off with Neo in the subway station, where if he runs down one end, he comes back from the other end, and it's all a bit rubbish. There's no fight. But then there's a bit of fighting. You get Morpheus and Trinity
and the Chinese dude.
They go to the bondage club, because one of the Wachowski brothers, who's now credited on Larry Wachowski, is now on IMDb as Lana Wachowski, because he's got a bit of a fetish with bondage.
He's had a sex change.
Yeah.
He's been with, what's the name, a dominatrix and his ex-wife.
They're not the Wachowski brothers anymore, are they? They're just the Wachowski.
It does say his sister and stuff like that on Andy's profile, which is quite interesting. So anyway, so there's a bondage club, there's a bit of shooting there, some more unlucky pillars getting the shit shot out of him.
The pillars in the film are really unlucky.
They really are.
Shit kicked out of them, don't they?
They fall to pieces. So you've also in this got a new Oracle, because the original Oracle died.
Yeah.
And also I think Keanu Reeves' girlfriend died, and he had a pretty severe motorbike crash. That might be why there was 4 years between them. I couldn't find anything on that.
And what's her name? Aaliyah died, didn't she? She was supposed to be in it as well.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she died. And so there's a lot of death.
There is a lot of death, isn't there?
And not enough Smith. That's my problem with this film.
Yes.
Not enough Smith for ages. He is in it a little bit. And then you've got that young girl, the young Indian girl, Sati, why is she there?
That kind of makes no sense. They want,
like, somehow two programs have made a baby program and they want to take her into the Matrix, so that's going on. That's all a bit weird. Neo's blind for half the film. He can only see in fire.
Yeah. That's a bit brutal, though, that is, when he gets the electric cable in the face.
Yeah, that's cable face. That's going to sting.
That's what he says, he does it. He goes, hey, Neo, cable face! And so he cables him in the face.
It's not looking good for this film
until... And then he goes, shocking!
And there's...
If only he did, that would be amazing. I'm going to re-edit that tonight.
So then we got a bit of Zion in this film, but fortunately, now in Zion, you got people in massive robot suits like the loader from Aliens. They got massive ass guns on that need to be loaded with a wheelbarrow. So
yeah, how stupid
these
is
are
that?
Quite good. I like the APUs, they're pretty good. They're shooting the shit out of, they got 250,000 sentinels coming into Zion. That does look pretty good when they're swarming around that stuff.
Again, the effects in that sequence.
Yeah.
Are pretty cool.
That is sweet.
Even though the gun things do look a little bit weird.
They look a bit on, but I wouldn't mind having to go on one.
They don't look as good as the ones in Avatar. I know Avatar was made, you know, many years later, but I think the design in Avatar is better than the ones in...
Yeah, probably.
In Matrix.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
So, a blind Neo and Trinity, who so far hasn't flown a ship, all of a sudden she can. They go...
She always could, man.
She always could, man.
She's lazy.
Yeah, she let Morpheus do that shit.
So they go off to Machine City, and there... Because I think the main problem with this film is most of the way through, you got the Sentinels are the main enemy, and you got not enough Smith. So there's no face on the enemy. There's no face. So you get to the Machine City, Neo gets out there, and all these little things form together to make like a giant face. So there's
that's meant to be the architect, isn't it? Because it kind of looks like his face.
A little bit.
Yeah. You can't really tell, can you?
No, because it's loads of little robots.
Yeah, it is. Together. Yeah.
But anyway, so he says, right, if you... help me out here. If you plug me in, I'll go sort out Smith for you, and otherwise, I'll go. Well, you can do what you want with me. So they say, all right, we'll plug you in. And now he goes and fights Smith. And when he walks along, there's Smiths everywhere. And I paused the Blu-ray and counted each and every one, and I can officially tell you there is one fuckload of Smiths either side of it. So.
Yeah, you're probably right there, yeah.
But then one of the Smiths comes up to him, and he's like, right, let's get it on. And they're flying in the air, and it's quite a good fight, and they slam into this massive crater.
That bit's really cool.
That bit is brilliant.
Because you see, like, the shockwave makes all the rain go out, doesn't it? And all the rain falls back down again.
Really good.
That bit's really cool.
And then he punches him in slow motion, and you can see the raindrops hitting his fist. He's about to slam into Smith's face, and then eventually he beats him. And that's quite good. But then you don't really know what happens. He's kind of dragged off by the machines. You don't know. Is he dead? He's probably dead. He's still blind. Trinity's dead. What's going on here? And then... Zion's kind of saved because all the Sentinels leave, and then you just see the Oracle with the young girl, and the fucking architect comes along.
You hate the architect.
He really winds me up. It's the way he speaks. And then there's a sunrise, and the Oracle says to the girl, "Did you do that for him?" And she says, "Yeah." What's that all about?
What is all that about?
What would have been awesome is when she did the sun and had the Teletubbies. That would have been
brilliant. Like with Neo's face on it,
making funny noises.
Neo just comes out, there is a spoon! It was just a really underwhelming finish, wasn't it?
Because
there was no kind of real victory to it.
And then, like, the credits come out, and there's no Rage Against the Machine. There's just a Latin choir. What's that all about?
What is all that about?
Yes, so... But then, I don't know if you've heard about this. I hadn't until I looked into it. But the end was supposed to carry on into the Matrix Online, which is like MMO.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it, but...
Which is, the graphics are shocking, but it does have some decent combo fighting in it. It is properly like bullet time stuff. But then that was supposed to go on for years. The Wachowskis are going to write it for the first year, and then so you could basically be part of making the ending because it depended on how well people did in it.
Yeah.
So, because it was all the way through. You had comics, you had games, you had the Animatrix. It was all like
the Animatrix was pretty cool.
Yeah, they were good, but it was all like a multimedia thing. You kind of had to see. A bit of do everything to understand what's going on, and then there's still no proper ending. But Keanu Reeves has said earlier in the year that after the Wachowskis have finished on their next film, they've been talking to James Cameron about his 3D stuff, and they're going to do The Matrix 4 and 5. Because Keanu Reeves, who, if you watch the documentary, The Matrix Revisited, really, really tries hard to make it. Everything brilliant. He really went out to make these films good. He had his spine was fusing during the first film, and he's really hard on himself doing each take, making them do more than he needs to. He wants to give the audience
the films they deserve
and they didn't need. So hopefully if there's the fourth and fifth ones come along, they are going to be amazing because they've had another 8 years.
Well, all it means
you hope that they maybe will have learned that from the reaction to the second and the third one that people don't want all the kind of all the gubbins. They just want like a good story with some ass kicking.
Yeah, they need someone to say like, right, Wachowski, it's 90 minutes.
Yeah, you know, keep it
concise, 3-act structure, get it done, and just, you know, just a real stripped down basic film.
Mm.
I think the problem was The Matrix, the first one was so successful that they could literally do whatever they want.
Yeah, they got completely free rein, didn't they?
Yeah, you can tell in the script, there's so many things like, you can probably cut the Merovingian out, the Frenchman, easily.
Yeah, take him out.
You could take out half the bits from the Zion sequence. Yeah. Remove the entire disco scene. And you've lost, like, what, half an hour of the film?
In fairness, you could probably cut out from the two films, make it into one, maybe 2.5-hour film, and it would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But they did not.
Yeah.
Because the first film made $463 million worldwide. The second one made $742. So you think the third one's going to make loads, but that makes $427 less than the first. So.
Yeah.
What?
And that's with even, you'd think with people going to see the first two, I still might as well go and see the third one.
People maybe just thought, well, I wasn't that impressed with the second one, I'll catch the third one on DVD or something, you know.
Yeah. It really did harm me. Say, all the goodwill from all the Wachowski goodwill basically left them, because after that, every film they've done, they've been getting a bit of a kick in, haven't they? Because, like, Speed Racer got an absolute pacing at the cinema, which I don't think it deserved. I quite like Speed Racer.
Well, I've not seen it, but it cost $120 million and took $93 million, which isn't great.
Yeah, but I think people kind of saved up their vitriol from the Matrix films and kind of spouted it on that. But Speed Racers, apart from the annoying little brother in it, who destroys the film in the same way that Chris Rock destroys for the Fifth Element. Yeah. He, you know, apart from that kid, it's a really good, you know, really good family kids film. It's a really good film. And the Wachowskis can make, you know, really good films.
Yeah, Bound is amazing. Have you seen
that? Yeah, of course, I've
seen Bound. We've all
seen Bound. I've seen the whole film. Not just certain sections on YouTube.
The
first Matrix
film.
Is a good film. The dialogue's a bit
ropey. Matrix is amazing. Yeah. You've got the problem with the first one, I think, is because they filmed in Australia. They got a lot of Australian actors like Switch and A Parker shit in it. They're not very good on it, but they die early on. And you've got Damien from Home and Away. What's his name? Mouse?
Yeah.
Just fuck him, but he doesn't last very long.
He doesn't last very long.
He's not very good, but yeah. It's not a perfect film, the first one, but it's pretty fucking amazing.
Well, I would say even that some of their, since then, probably their, you know, their, some of their producing type stuff has probably done a bit better, like V for Vendetta.
Did they produce Ninja Assassin?
Yeah,
they produced Ninja Assassin as well.
That is a masterpiece of film, Vendetta. I recommend you all see Ninja Assassin. That is a great film.
Yeah, that is a good film.
You get a head cut off in the first 2 minutes, and then the action goes crazier. That's my kind of film.
Yeah, I've actually haven't still seen it. I keep meaning to check it out. Will see it. Yeah.
So would you two agree that, like, the Wachowskis are better in a producing role, like, the same way George Lucas seems to be better in a producing role rather than director?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, really, from when you look at, I mean, they haven't really done that much, really.
Four films?
So it's about five films.
One on the way now, this. On IMDb, there's two films they're working on.
Cloud Atlas is one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's one.
Yeah, they're doing a war film that's like,
sort of got some gay romance between the Russians and America.
Great. Can't wait to see that. Another one that just says
that'll bring in the crowds.
Six stories intersecting or something, so.
Yeah.
That might be interesting, but then they're going to get to work on the next Matrix sequels, which hopefully they'll be good.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I mean, it did really not destroy the franchise, but it really stopped it from going any further, didn't it? Because I don't think any of the games were. Like, The Path of Neo that came out afterwards was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. It was better than the other one, but still not great.
And it really kind of, like, it took away the goodwill that the first one had. It's affected the first one, hasn't it? Because the first one was held up as like a modern classic. Yeah.
If they'd have just left it, if there was still just the first film, everyone would still really love it. Keanu would be probably a huge, huge star. Because at the time, he was pretty much just known for Bill and Ted or Speed, I suppose, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And now he's Neo forever, but then was good and now not so good.
Yeah. Poor old Matrix.
There you go. Matrix.
Yeah. But, you know, it took two films to bring the franchise down. I think that's kind of says something about the strength of the first film.
Mm, yeah,
it took two films to destroy it. So well done, Wachowskis. Mr.
Good old kicking.
But if you want to see a film get properly broken down, you'll have to go back to 1998. And come with me on a journey to Gotham City.
Gotham City!
City of justice! City of rapists! Oh, that's what I said, isn't it? So I got distracted.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well. Voice the chilling sound of your doom.
This is the way the world could end.
Please, show some mercy.
With ice. With a kiss.
It's in the closet.
No, he was a pedophile.
Pedophile, that's it. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, R. Kelly, got it confused.
Yeah, sorry, R. Kelly, whoops.
Consensual sex with the rapist under there. That's fine.
Now, you know, we say a lot about R. Kelly, but that in the closet thing he did, that was a work of genius.
It was a midget.
It's brilliant.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to cut the recording to the podcast right now, so don't worry about that.
And then he says, move. She says, no. He says, move. She says, no. Bitch, move. She moves. And then he looks at the cabinet. He walks to the cabinet. Get close to the cabinet. Now he's opening the cabinet. Now pause the movie, cause what I'm about to say to y'all is so damn twisted. Not only is there a man in his cabinet, but the man is a midget. 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 Midget.
That was brilliant. So obviously, R. Kelly was on the soundtrack of the film Batman and Robin. Now, we all like Batman, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was that? Don't sound convinced. I mean, we all remember. I think we all
like Batman.
You can do better than that.
I like Batman.
better. But now we all remember 1989 when you couldn't turn around and not see a Batman symbol.
It was everywhere. Batman.
It was everywhere. Huge film. Then we all remember Batman Returns.
Yes.
Massive film. The Bat and the Cat is back.
Oh, the Bat and the Cat and the Penguin.
Yeah, and then, you know, that was good. And then Tim Burton left me a Batman Forever, which was a strange film.
Well, it's got Val Kilmer in. He's pretty good.
You love Val Kilmer.
I really do like Val Kilmer.
The hints of something sour.
It's a bit, but kind of, you know, Tommy Lee Jones is good and crazy in it and stuff, you know. It's a bit too, you know, campy and a little bit kind of neon-y.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Gets a bit let loose.
And then you come to Batman and Robin. The fourth Batman film in the kind of sequence. With George Clooney as Batman, Chris O'Donnell as Robin, Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy, Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl, sexy. And Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. That's a lot of people, isn't it?
That is a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. I mean, I've got the poster up on IMDb, and that is a confusing-looking poster.
Mm.
There's like purple and green and blue and all sorts all over it. And it's basically the story of Mr. Freeze, who steals diamonds because he's like some science dude who's in a big suit, and he needs the diamonds to power his diamond-powered Sub-Zero suit to keep him cold because he's trying to cure his wife who had some kind of syndrome.
I think it's frozen in an ice block syndrome.
Yeah, that's what it is. And at the same time, you've got, Poison Ivy. Kind of comes in as like some kind of mad scientist lady who kind of takes over plants, who kind of has a sidekick who's Bane. He was a character from the comic. He was really cool and is completely destroyed and ignored.
Yeah. Bane
is into a flower man.
Yeah, he's some kind of big green flower dude.
He's played by a dude called Jeep.
What's all that about? yeah, no, he's right. Jeep Swenson. Bane was cool. Bane was the man who broke Batman's back. That's how cool Batman. That's how cool Bane was.
Yeah, and he was. He also just wasn't like a brute. He was like intelligent. He was like really smart.
Because his background in comics is really good. I mean, he apparently like he comes from this island in South America, where his dad was a revolutionary against the fascist government, and he went missing. So the government decided that his son would have his deal with his sentence. So the kid gets put into prison for life. Like a little boy goes into prison with like a little dog. He's got like a teddy bear he carries around with him. But he's got a knife hidden inside it, so he can stab people and try to bully him. And this child grows up to be like the king of the prison, and he's got like a voracious learning mind, and he gets experimented on with the drug Venom to give him like super strength.
It's basically Oz with a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, probably less male rape, I would say. Although you don't see it in the comics, but it's there, but a subtext, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then he goes...
Between the lines.
Yeah, between the panel borders, it's all in there. And then he goes to Gotham and then breaks Batman's back, you know? That's a cool character. And then
he messes with him for ages. He doesn't just go straight in there and go, I'm going to break your back. He basically breaks him down...
emotionally
slowly over like a period of time, physically wears him out, like, and emotionally wears him out, and then basically just goes, now I've got you, kind of thing. Bang. It's kind of like more for his own amusement.
Yeah, I'll snap you like a twig, Batman. Bang. Which aside is hopefully what we're going to get in the new Batman film, The Dark Knight Rises, with Tom Hardy as Bane. Because that picture I've seen of him looks pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously not going to be as big, but if you've seen him in Bronson, like, the guy can be,
yeah,
he's,
yeah,
big, like, he can, yeah, be pretty ripped. But I don't know if I would like that, though, because I don't know where they'd go with it. I think a film is too short to condense that into.
That's going into it.
If they're not going to continue it on in a sequel, as in, as, yeah, if this is Nolan's last film.
But I think it is his last film. I think they're going Justice League Batman.
I don't know if I would like that, because it would... I don't see how you could do it and then compensate... The only way you could do it was if you had a montage.
Breaking the back montage.
Yeah, I don't know if Nolan... Well, it would be, you know, like a Rocky getting fit montage afterwards.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know if Nolan likes
Rocky. Oh, man. Could you imagine Christopher Nolan doing a montage? How amazing would that be, like an IMAX?
As long as they get Vince DiCola to do the music, I'm on board. But
amazing. But all that is 100 million times better than Bane in Batman and Robin. So you've got these two villains. Alfred, the butler's niece, comes into it, who finds out that Bruce Wayne's Batman, and she becomes Batgirl. And all kind of things go on. Poison Ivy messes with the Batman and Robin with her pheromones, and Robin's fighting with each other, and all kinds of stuff happens. It's really actually quite dull.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is dull. Even though visually it's crazily over the top, it's just a dull film that misses the point of Batman.
I have never seen the entirety of Batman and Robin.
We just walked out.
I've just never seen it all.
It's I watched it with my son not too long ago, and I mean, yeah, he enjoyed it because it was kind of bright and flashy, but it just gets so many things wrong. I mean, the casting is terrible. George Clooney just does not work as Batman.
No, not at all.
Because the thing is with George Clooney is, with his acting, he conveys quite a lot through not doing very much. And when you cover that with a mask, a lot of his kind of acting ability gets covered. I mean, because this is what came out a year after From Dusk Till Dawn.
And
you can... And probably, what, a year before Out of Sight. And George Clooney does an awful lot just kind of looking at the camera with kind of not doing much.
Yeah.
And the bat suit just kind of completely... He's just swaddled under all this stuff, so he can't act. And then he's opposite Chris O'Donnell, who's like a lump of wood.
Shit.
In later.
Why did they let him come back after?
I don't know. Forever? I don't know. Chris O'Donnell's
Hobbit. Clearly must have been paycheck movie for.
Oh, clearly.
For
well, Clooney. Yeah, but.
Because
yeah.
Clooney generally, and I think after Batman and Robin, he's been very careful. He generally
very careful.
Films very well, and sort of, you know, doesn't tend to do. I think he generally doesn't tend to do a lot of shit. He tends to do sort of. Well,
since he became, you know, since ER, this is probably the only bad film he's done.
Ocean's 13.
Ocean's 12 is worse than Ocean's 13, I would say. I think Ocean's 12.
But they're still better than Batman and Robin.
Hell yeah.
They are still better than Batman
and Robin. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze. He got paid $25 million for this film.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, the villain. I know it's like his first villain role since Terminator. But all he does is walk around in a stupid big suit that's rubbish, with doing really, really bad ice puns.
Sleeping with the maid.
No, Ryan, that would have been a few years later. This was probably before that. He was probably just, you know, feeding up one of the interns. That's what he does, Schwarzenegger. And he's not a great villain. He's just kind of, again, he's there for a paycheck. And it doesn't bring anything to it. And
well, he probably needed to fund his government
campaign. And Uma Thurman, she's not very good.
She looks good. She's not very good.
No, because she's just kind of, again, it's just, her character's just doesn't really work. And Alicia Silverstone, again,
not the best.
It's kind of like, why is she even there, really?
Yeah, and it's just all a bit of a mess. It's just, the problem with the Batman films became when they started to throw, this idea became like, oh, we're doing a comic sequel, therefore we need to throw four or five or six characters. So, you know, you got Batman, which has got Batman the Joker, Batman Returns has got Batman and Catwoman and the Penguin and Max Schreck, and then Batman Forever has got Batman and Robin and Two-Face and Riddler. And it just dilutes the film, and I just have no idea why they do that. The same thing happened to Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Where you bring in, you know, you've got the Green Goblin, you've got Venom, and you've got Sandman and Spider-Man and Mary Jane. It just dilutes the film. It's just trying to cram in so many things in there. The whole film just can't support the weight of it and collapses. But I mean, they thought this film was going to be a big, massive success. I think they were already prepping the sequel, another film, whilst they were doing this one. And then obviously it was released, and everyone was like, "This is shit."
Mm-hmm.
Batman's got ice skates coming out of his shoes. What the hell's all that about?
And nipples on his suit.
And bat nipples.
But I think, did he not always have bat nipples in? Did he not have bat nipples in Batman Forever as well?
I don't think so. Probably, maybe
everybody makes a big deal of it in Batman and Robin, but I'm almost certain he had bat nipples.
Well, let's have a look right now. Batman Forever, search. Because he had like two suits, and he had the kind of the Tim Burton style bat suit, and then at the end he had some kind of weird silvery one.
Yeah. He had bat nipples on the. Did he? Where is it?
Oh, there's a picture of Batman Forever JPEG. Here we go. No, the bat symbol covers the nipples. Robin has Robin nipples.
He does have bat nipples. I can see it on this picture.
Which picture is that?
If I've typed in Batman Forever suit into Google, and then just
this if you're at Google, follow along.
And then look at images. There's clearly bat nipples on that suit.
I'll give you that. Ah, but there are two suits though.
Yeah, the other one didn't.
Well, there are definitely bat nipples there.
All right, then. What about the Batman Returns suit then?
Batman Returns suit? I don't know if he had nipples in those ones.
I can't believe we're doing
this. This is an interesting podcast. Nipples.
I can't see the nipples on the Batman Returns suit.
There you go. Conclusive evidence. No, Batman gets worse the bigger his nipples get.
Because the Batman Returns suit looks more kind of probably like the Batman for the Batman Begins suit looks more kind of like
it's more sculptured, isn't it?
Yeah. How much better does Michael Keaton look in that suit as well?
He does look better. I don't know why, but the profile of Michael Keaton looks much better than George Clooney or Val Kilmer. I'm sorry, Ryan. No, I know you like Val Kilmer.
I'll give you that.
And then George Clooney gets the weird silvery suit. It just looks wrong. Was that the cold suit? I can't remember.
Well, it killed it.
It killed it and killed comic movies dead. Which is probably, I mean, this was the first film where like the internet decided, because this was the one where was it Ain't It Cool News did like an early review of it and said it was really bad.
Mm.
And it all kind of, that's where the bad press started for the film, and then it was all kind of laid at Harry Knowles' door for saying that it brought it down. Don't know if Wikipedia says that or agree to me, but I'm sure that was the case. It was the first one where it was like the internet made a decision about a film.
Yeah.
And kind of foreshadowed how things would be going
and
after that.
They started flying them out places and putting them up in nice hotels to go to the premiere of their film.
Yeah. So, yeah, it did destroy that kind of Batman film, the kind of campy, over-the-top Batman film. But in a way, if this film wasn't so bad, we wouldn't have got The Dark Knight.
Mm.
So we do owe it a little bit of gratitude.
Yes.
Not very much.
There's a lot.
There's not. A little bit. So, I mean, there's nothing really. There you go. Joel Schumacher blamed on yellow journalism. Don't know what that is. Started by Harry Knowles. Another film website such as Dark Horizons. Yeah, I was right. It was like the first kind of internet film where they kind of went, no, we don't like this. don't go and see it, and nobody listened to him.
Yeah.
Director. Yeah. It was not just the internet.
Yeah, he would say that.
He would say that. I mean, it's directed by Joel Schumacher.
How does he explain every other film he's made being shit then?
Has Joel Schumacher only made shit films, has he?
Pretty much.
All right, that's a little Joel Schumacher.
8mm is shit. Awesome, mate.
See, Elmo's Fire, The Lost shit. Boys.
Oh, Lost Boys is good.
Client.
I don't mind Phone Booth. It's okay.
Ah, it's alright, yeah.
Do you know what's really good? Tigerland?
That's the first.
Yeah, fair play. That is a good
Farrell film, isn't it?
Falling Down. Falling Down's awesome.
Ooh, The Number 23.
That's shit.
Yeah. Phantom of the Falling Down.
He's had a few scores, but has pretty much made some rubs.
Yeah, I'd say his hit rate is low.
Yeah.
Looking at that.
So what's that? 3 films for 30.
Flatliners, okay.
Yeah, Flatliners, Falling Down, Lost Boys.
Tigerland. And I don't mind Phone Booth. I think Phone Booth's okay.
Oh, sorry, it's not.
It's not brilliant, but it's okay.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's short.
Joel Schumacher's got a lot to blame for himself.
Yeah.
And like I say, I mean, this Batman Robins, you know, basically stopped the comic book films for a few years until Blade came back and started to do it properly. Mm. Blade came out, was it 98, 99?
It was like the next year, yeah.
Yeah. And Blade was like the first one, the kind of the herald before X-Men came out, and things got better for a little while for comic book films. But the kind of template used by Batman Robin, it just rear its ugly head in every now and then, like I said in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah,
it's just a bad film. Wasn't strong enough to kill Batman, but it killed a certain type of Batman.
And it killed Chris O'Donnell's career. Where would he be now?
Chris O'Donnell.
Shame.
Chris shit face.
In fairness, I think Batman and Forever pretty much killed Val Kilmer's career, because although he's still making films and they're good, no one's heard of him and they're not getting...
No, because Bang Bang was really good.
Yeah, that was really good.
Bang Bang was probably...
Loads of his new films. Spartan, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wonderland, that's really good, but everyone just thinks, oh, he's...
Well, the only person who's kind of managed to come out of Batman and Robin, well, Tim Burton managed to come out of the Batman franchise relatively unscathed.
And then he goes and tries to ruin that himself with a lot of the other films he's made since then.
And obviously, you know, Michael Keaton never really did much after he was Batman, and George Clooney came out of it alright, so not many people came out of the Batman films unscathed, really.
Schwarzenegger became governor.
Yeah, it wasn't Schwarzenegger's last film, I don't think, was it? He did at least one more after this one.
Yeah, he did that.
But it was like, you know, his old Schwarzenegger is not really not good Schwarzenegger anymore. So, but the thing is, you can't even go back for it and find value in it. There's nothing there. It's just rubbish. It's just embarrassing. That's what it is. Embarrassing.
Bad filmmaking.
Bad filmmakers. Bad Joel Schumacher.
Bad bat nipples.
But I suppose if you're going to take a comic franchise and destroy it, there is only one film you can talk about.
The countdown has begun.
Can we risk not launching?
The world is on the brink.
Prepare to counterattack.
And only one man can save us now.
What a scoop!
Effective immediately, I'm going to rid our planet of all nuclear weapons.
But the greatest threat to Superman is Lex Luthor.
You'd risk worldwide nuclear war for your own personal financial gain.
Do you know what I can do with a single strand of Superman's hair?
You can make a toupee that flies.
Let's just keep your IQ a family secret, okay?
Oh, right. Oh. Kind of just been biding the time, just trying to savor up every minute before it came to having to talk about this, but okay, here we go. Whew. Superman 4. Oh.
Wait, you forgot the tagline. The quest for peace.
Yeah, okay, the quest for pesh.
Hey!
There we go. Superman 4, right, came off the back of what is also regarded as a pretty rubbish Superman film, Superman 3. However, Superman 3 is 1 million times better than Superman 4.
It's got that freaky Atari game in it when they're trying to shoot Superman with the missiles.
Yes, indeed. It's also
Chip Pryor.
You know, it's got I suppose the closest it had got at that point. Well, no, Superman 2 had done it, but it, you know, you'd got Superman fighting Superman-ish kind of thing, which was kind of all right, but
yeah, a bit, Clark Kent-y stuff.
A bit stupid, and yeah, it wasn't great, and they made Superman even less super in Superman 3 and things, I guess. But it was basically the what happened after Superman 3 was the producers, who was the Sal Kines, had made Superman 3, after the rubbish kind of reviews that it had got, decided, well, you know, maybe that's kind of Superman has kind of run its course type thing. They did do Supergirl, and I think Christopher Reeve was supposed to appear in it, but he was doing something else, so all you get is like a poster.
I can just see you on the phone. Yeah, I'm in the shower. I can't come. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a Superman poster, and that's about it. And yeah, you know, he was in inverted commas doing something, washing his hair or something, you know.
He's in the shower.
After Supergirl, they kind of held on to the rights for like a few years, but then sold it. And I think they must have sold it cheap as chips to some company, some of these guys from Canon Films or something. And basically, these people wanted to make a Superman film, because why wouldn't you if you owned the rights to Superman and you're like a new producer person, you've got Superman franchise, you're going to go, hell yeah, we're going to make some films. So they basically went to Christopher Reeve. Christopher Reeve went, nah, you know, sorry guys, but don't really think so. Third one was a bit rubbish, you know, can't really think about doing another one. Don't want to, basically, you know, fair play to Reeves. He says he didn't want to sort of disrespect Superman and sort of the goodwill that remained.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't want to kind of ruin it for the fans, and wanted the fans to remain, you know, positive, to have good sort of feelings towards it. But the guys basically said to him, well, here you go, this is what we'll do. You can have a part in the story of Superman 4, and you can choose, we'll finance some other films. And you know, they offered him like a couple of films and things like this, and also that if the fourth film was successful, then Reeves could have got to direct the fifth one. So there was all these kind of little things and projects that he could do, and they offered him at this, and he went, right, okay, fair enough, let's go for it,
we'll give it a go.
Yeah, but because the producers, they weren't really a big producing company, and apparently they were literally making about 100 films at the one time, they had no money. Like, they had literally no money whatsoever to make it. So everything was cut price, budget, you know, low standard, and it just shows completely. I don't even know how they ever thought they might have got away with it, because from start to finish, it looks cheap, it sounds cheap. Everybody just looks like they clearly don't want to be there. And apparently there's a story that before the premiere, Christopher Reeve kind of pulled over John Cryer, who's the guy from 2.5 Men, pulled him off and says, you know, prepare yourself, this is going to be pretty crap. And you know, I think for some reason Cryer, I think at that point, was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, he says he had a good time working with, you know, Reeve and Hackman, who came back for this fourth one, who rightly said no to the third one, and then obviously the chips
needed the money.
Yeah, came back for the fourth one as sort of, again, he just comes, even doesn't, he seems like a cut price Lex Luthor, you know. It doesn't even seem like he's got the same sort of spirit that he had,
the energy of his original one,
the first two. So he comes back, and basically apparently they ran out of money about like 5 months early, and just had to basically say, well, that's the film done, and let's just kind of finish it off and get it out there. And like, the director was a guy called Sidney J. Fury, who I've never heard about, but looking a bit of research, not too bad.
He did the Ipcress file.
He did the Ipcress file, so that won the Palm d'Or in 1965 and the BAFTA in 1966 for best film. Iron Eagle 1-3. Also,
there's a classic trilogy right there.
Yeah, also did The Entity, which is an alright sort of horror film, and The Young Ones with Cliff Richard. Also did lots of other things which I've never seen, and
I've never heard of any of these.
No inclination to watch. And you know, that's kind of where he left off. I'm gonna go out there and say that without seeing 99% of what he's put out there, Superman 4 is bound to have been his worst film. It just has to be.
If there's just a film worse than that, I would quite like to see it. Cannot get any worse.
This is the film that killed the Superman franchise for 19 years. You know, they tried to get other films going after this one, but I think they were so aware, probably, and so burned by how shit this one was that they really wanted to get it right. And we've all heard the stories of J.J. Abrams' version where he was, the suit came out of a ring. It was kind of like the Flash's suit. It came out of a ring, and it was the suit.
Superman Lives
powers,
version.
And then there was the Tim Burton Superman Lives version, which you can find now, actually, one of the effects supervisors has released sort of videos and footage of sort of the pre sort of effects testing that they were doing for the Superman Lives, which was when he was electric Superman, sort of energy Superman. So, you know, it's interesting to see it, just to see, you know, what it might have looked like, but it was pretty rubbish. And if you've never kind of heard the big Kevin Smith story, it's on YouTube, where Kevin Smith basically relays a story with the producer who owned the rights at that time about what he wants, and basically all this producer wanted was a giant mechanical spider. Yeah. That's all he wanted in it. And then he's the same producer who then went on to do The Wild Wild West, which has a giant mechanical spider. But it's quite a lot.
To be fair to the man, a giant mechanical spider does sound quite cool.
It does sound quite cool, but, you know, Kevin Smith basically sounds like he was on the right track, but this guy kept giving him lots of shit to throw into it. So it's quite an interesting sort of 5 or 10 minute little thing to find on YouTube and listen to. But Superman 4 is just a pile of guff. It's just horrible. The music is shit, and apparently, you know, the score, they wanted to sort of get music by John Williams credit and stuff like this, but apparently due to some legal loopholes they couldn't do it, so they re-recorded it. But the guy who they'd booked to re-record it, whatever orchestra he was using, it was shit, couldn't even do the music right, so he had to go to some
other
shit
orchestra.
Yeah, he had to go to, like, this is some sort of German orchestra. He had to go to a different orchestra, had to like re-record the Superman sort of overture sort of a couple of times. It just sounds hideous. I mean, the special effects, watching it back, I don't understand how it could be so bad. You can see sort of bits of the blue screen sort of around the edges of him and stuff, and
yeah,
you know, it's just horrible. And you know, who's in it? Well, I mean, they're all Hackman paycheck. Reeves, although he's done it, you know, I think you can clearly see that even though he signed up to it, he's probably thinking, oh no, you know, what am I doing?
What am I doing here?
Margot Kidder. This is Margot Kidder, I think, just either sort of just after or
just strung out and drinking
during the difficult years, and therefore she basically looks like she doesn't really know where she is. She hardly appears at all, and she just looks a bit worse for wear, really, throughout the whole thing. Whenever she's there, then there's Lenny Luthor. Oh man, Lenny Luthor, John Cryer. He's just this horrible 80s cliche, you know, it's all, whoa, dude, and all this kind of stuff, and you're just like, oh man, absolutely no need for that,
no need.
For any of it, just no need. Story, oh, right, partly conceived by Reeves, because apparently he really wanted to do a sort of an anti-nuclear war kind of message, so Superman
the poster
after Chernobyl, isn't it?
Yeah. On the poster, yeah, he's like flying away carrying like a really small bit of a nuclear missile that looks...
Yeah, the poster's really, really shit. It's like, you don't rip a nuclear missile in half, because if anything, that's going to cause it maybe to blow up or...
Yeah.
Put some radiation about the place, so so he does that. He says, "All right, I'm going to get rid of all nuclear missiles because I'm Superman, and you fucking try and stop me."
I'd love it if he said that. Try and stop me.
And then Lex Luthor decides that he's going to clone Superman, and it's the worst clone I've ever seen. And this is not if this is what cloning is like, then why would you clone anything?
Although I don't know,
you
I think
end up with the complete opposite of what you were.
How is he born with a cape?
I think a cloned version of me wearing spandex for the feather mullet would be quite awesome. Thank you very much.
Right, so he cloned, right, basically, he, Lex Luthor gets a bit of his hair, decides to clone him. Now, there is a deleted scene which appears in the Ultimate Edition DVDs, or the box set that you can get, where they actually did have he does it the first time, and it's more like a Bizarro type Superman, and he's kind of all dopey and stupid, and then he sort of realizes that this isn't going to work because he wouldn't be able to beat Superman because he is so stupid and dopey. So then he does something else and makes the blonde shit version, who's just really kind of rubbish and just really, I can't explain it. He's just like, he does all the silly things. He can't be in the dark, and he's like,
he's like solar powered, isn't he?
He's solar powered. He's blonde. You know, Superman takes him to the moon. You don't need to take him to the moon. You just take him to the other side of the earth. He's all right. It's dark in there. You know,
dickhead.
You know, moron. Put him underground. It's dark underground.
Yeah,
you know,
like that.
You know, all this kind of
under rubbish. An umbrella. There you go. You know, or a parasol.
Dig a big hole. Throw him down in there. Done. Job done. Because he literally loses his power like that. As soon as he's out of the sun, he goes.
Fine. Yeah, he's like so, trapped down.
You know, there's no sun.
You could have just
in
waited
a subway
for night.
Tunnel. Anywhere. Just yeah. Put him inside in a dark room. There's no sun. He's done.
Just turn the lights off. Click. Job done.
Done. So he's in it, and he's kind of like stupid or not stupid. He's kind of like grunts and stuff. Doesn't really say anything. He fights energy, all this kind of stuff. They go up to the moon, have a fight. Superman beats him, and that's kind of something happens.
But and that's it.
The worst offense, another one of the worst things about this film, probably the worst offense, is they give Superman even more shitty fake Superman powers.
Like rebuilding the wall with his eyes.
Yeah, like, you know,
about like, that's ridiculous.
He like, looks at the thing, and you know, and it all like goes back to normal. What else can he do? He does some.
Can he make toast with his buttons?
Cook a duck to perfection. His laser vision, can it's never been so good.
This duck is crispy on the outside, but softer on the inside. Thank you, Superman.
Yeah, he does. What else is it he does? I can't even remember. It's been that.
Oh, does he have an N on the back of his cape?
A what?
An N.
An N.
Been nuclear on the back of his cake.
Nuclear man.
But he does all these. He does telekinesis. There's telekinesis. There's like Zod did it in the second film, which was rubbish. And boo to you, Richard Donner, for putting that in. Actually, I think that was probably more of a Richard Lester edition, from what I remember, than Donner. But I think it might have still been in the Donner footage. Yeah, it's just rubbish. It's just rubbish. Fake Superman powers, and this is a film that despite most of the other films that sometimes I talk about, saw at age 6. However, it has actually no redeeming nostalgia factor to it whatsoever.
You still
remember probably liking it when I was 6 because I was stupid when I was 6, but now it's just like, whoa, oh, it's just a horrible, horrible film. And I don't even understand what was going through their head. And this basically was it. There was no more films for 19 years. And
yeah. And then they came back with Superman Returns, which is even better.
Well, Superman Returns is the third best Superman film. That's the way I would put it.
The only good bit of Superman Returns is the plane rescue. Yeah,
nobody gets shot in the eye.
Shot in the eye.
That's pretty cool. Getting shot in the eye, Superman saving the plane bit, and then there's just a lot of talking.
Yeah, and shit. Super Kid is the worst decision in movie history.
Absolutely the worst decision in movie history.
Piano across the room.
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, throws the piano across the room and he's
and
got a kid.
What? I remember when I was watching that film in the cinema, midnight showing, all ripped up and excited about it. John Williams' theme comes on, oh, sweet to the beat, all going, you know. About half an hour into it, they introduced the wee kid, and I went, see if that wee turd ends up being Superman's kid. And he's got like superpowers, I will be ripping. And then it kind of went on and on.
I'm
going to
fuck shit
on.
Up. Fat kid is super kid, I'm going
to
fuck some shit
up. It just kind of went on and on. You're kind of like, okay, maybe they're not going to do it. And then as soon as he started to be, you could see it coming, and then when the piano went across, it went, oh sweet Jesus, there's a shark. The piano jumped the shark, and it's just like, oh my god, no. And then that was what ruined it. And then I thought maybe they could have called, you know, just sort of, I was hoping they would just forget about it and pretend it didn't happen, and then it wouldn't be Superman's kid, but then it still was. And
yeah, still was.
And then I went, please don't make another one, because although I don't mind Brandon Routh, and it was, I don't mind Bryan Singer doing it, they, if they do another one, they're going to have to continue on, and it's going to have Super Kid in it.
Yeah. Mm. That's why I'm quite glad they're doing the reboot. They can get
rid of
Super
Kid. Good thing about the reboot is we can remove all thoughts of Super Kid. And we can also, because it's a reboot, remove all thoughts of Lenny Luthor. We can also remove all thoughts of
Shitty
Nuclear Man. We can all remove all thoughts of crappy extra powers that don't exist. And, yeah. Superman 4. The worst film
ever?
Ever?
No, you've not seen Home Alone 4 yet.
Until you've seen that. There are worse films.
I haven't seen the Ice Pirates.
I'm probably even sure there are worse superhero films. But Superman 4 is just such a
well, at least like even the Fantastic Four one from the 90s and the Captain America film got some kind of cat-by to it.
Even better, yeah. I mean, this
Condor
is
Man from 1980's got a better.
I really like that film. Condor Man's amazing. Condor Man is awesome.
Yeah.
But this is just completely rubbish.
It's embarrassing.
Probably,
that's what
I'm going to say. It's the worst film that probably we've talked about today.
Oh, certainly.
Clearly, yeah.
I'd never seen it until last night. I watched it.
The first
half hour, like, you think, fair play, Christopher Reeve is amazing. You forget how good he is. But then all of a sudden, it's just totally ruined. So I didn't even have that kid thing of, oh, isn't this brilliant? I just like this. It's shit.
The problem for me is, even when Christopher Reeve, who is awesome and is Superman, even in the third one when he redeems it a bit, to me in this one, I find it even hard to kind of say, is there anything good about it? I mean, he is Chris Reeve, he is Superman, but it just doesn't seem like he even wants to be there at all.
Yeah. This is just a strange film, isn't it? The fact that it got made
is strange. Yeah.
And how quick, I know he's Superman and he's probably got quite a fast throw, but seriously, things don't go to the sun in seconds, even from just outside from outside the earth. It would take a little bit longer.
He did that time.
That's what mostly annoyed me, was the bad science of the film.
Man, if Ryan's trusting the science of a film, that is not a good sign.
No.
That is not a good sign.
So, Superman 4, it is Keek.
No. Did you guys think of any other films?
I've got a few sort of, well, there's kind of like shit sequels.
Yep, Basic Instinct 2.
We've probably all got the same one. Speed 2, yeah.
Oh, Speed 2! That's a good one.
Yeah. Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
Next Karate Kid. did I say Phantom Menace, Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I go, yeah, Beverly Hills Cop
8. Highlander 2. Transformers 2, which, although surprisingly, the new trailer has got kind of made me a bit hopeful that the third film.
I know, I feel really dirty saying that.
Might be a bit decent. Yeah, it's kind of like it actually looks kind of pretty good, and you know, we'll see.
But did the Transformers 2 trailers look good though?
This is what my wife said to me. She said, "But sure, the second film's trailers look good," and I went, "Yeah."
But I think because it's Transformers, you just have this kind of, you just want to believe that it's going to be a good film.
Yeah, well, I don't really know if they'll really make a good film until they hand it over maybe to someone else.
I just hope that Michael Bay proves that he's got the touch. That he's got the power! Yeah!
All I can say is, dare, better believe he can survive. He holds the power in his hands.
Any more?
That's all I can remember.
Okay, fair enough.
Google.
So that's what, and Star Trek V. Those are kind of ones that I'd come up with.
I like Star Trek V though.
Well, but
and we got Star Trek VI was still made. So
Star Trek VI is, yeah. Well, it wasn't a franchise killer, but
I'll tell you what the franchise killer was. Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, that was a franchise killer.
Actually, the franchise. I've got it written down as well. The Golden Compass.
Well, the first film, and it was a yeah, first regular, yeah.
It's supposed to be three, wasn't it? Boom.
As well, you could put yeah, into that.
Terminator Salvation.
Ooh.
And killed that franchise stone dead.
Despite...
Although they are making a
film. All bikes being shot out of knees. Yeah.
The only reason me and Ryan like that film is because the robot fires motorbikes out of its knees.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Which goes into the greatest film ever made, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Alien Resurrection.
I was going to say that, yeah. I've only seen it once, but I remember quite liking it, but I'll have to watch it again.
Oh, we'll watch it when we finish the podcast, you like, right?
Why not?
Yeah. X3.
Okay, yeah. Although they are making the new class or whatever it is.
Pretty good. Mm. I've got three kind of bracketed together because they all kind of fall in the shadow of Batman. You know, like, Batman was a big success.
Mm-hmm.
And studio tried to copy it. They tried to copy it with Dick Tracy, The Rocketeer, and The Shadow.
Well, yeah, and actually, they're three actually pretty good films, I think.
Yeah, Shadow's amazing, but I think they each tried to kind of lay down a franchise marker, and none of them kind of really succeeded, and they all just kind of just had that one film.
Yeah,
The Shadow, top notch. And also, as a franchise killer, Big Trouble in Little China.
Was it going to be a franchise?
Yeah, Jack Burton was going to be like... They marketed it as like the next Indiana Jones. Jack Burton was going to be the next big, you know, American film super character.
Mm.
And the film bombed, and they never made any more.
Mm.
They had sequels passed, so yeah, that's a bit sad.
Yes.
Do you have any more, Ryan?
I thought maybe Escape from LA, because it was nowhere near as good as...
Yeah.
Could have maybe been another one after that, you don't know.
What, Escape from Burbank?
Burbank, yeah. Just because I want to piss off one of your Twitter followers, I got Starship Troopers 3.
Casper Van Dien.
I haven't even seen it. The second one was rubbish.
I have seen. I've seen the start of the third film. It was on TV, and I think I don't know why I didn't watch the rest of it, but I saw about the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like trying to be like the first one. It was all kind of like the propaganda stuff, and you know, sort of being kind of like, you know. It was kind of like along the lines of the first one and like RoboCop, when it's kind of like, you know, all the ads are like just a bit wrong, really.
The satires and stuff in
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The first one's a really good film. Starship Troopers is a really good film.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I really like the first one. Yeah.
But I haven't got any more written down. I'm sure there's loads more.
Be loads. So don't people email us their suggestions?
Oh, what an idea.
Lethalwatching at badeducation.com. Email them in. Because I was trying to think, there must have been some films where like the first one was made and somebody died and they couldn't make a second one. I couldn't think of
it. It would also be interesting if people had thoughts about crap first films that then went on to be amazing sequels. I wonder if any of those...
Like Superman.
Like Superman?
High five, Ryan.
What are you talking about?
I'm trolling you, bitch! You got trolled!
You're making yourself look stupid now, Phil.
I trolled you good!
You're making yourself look stupid.
I trolled you like a bitch. Critters 2 was an awesome film. Oh, Critters 4, there's a franchise killer. Because Critters 1, great. Critters 2.
Jaws the Revenge.
Yeah. Critters 3 was Leonardo DiCaprio's best film.
Yeah. Spider-Man 3. Making another one, but Spider-Man 3...
Yeah, but it killed the Sam Raimi franchise, didn't it?
Killed that one.
Killed that stone dead. I'm sure there's more. People, the email is
email.
People.
Tell us more.
3. There you go, that killed that franchise. That erected the franchise.
Now we're going to make 4, but Mario Puzo died, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that this...
It's mostly, you know, Godfather 3.
Or... Godfather 3, yeah. Good bad film that is.
I don't mind it.
Really?
Vatican. Yeah.
Why?
Because they kill a priest.
Well, they do kill a priest, you're right, that's a fair point. Yeah, so email in at lethalwatching@badeducation.com with your film franchise killers. Already franchise killers, to be honest.
Hmm.
The New Adventures of He-Man. That killed He-Man.
He-Man with the ponytail.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I know it's the late 80s, fellas, but come on, don't give He-Man a ponytail. Trousers, yes, I agree with that.
In
going for
space.
The three trousers, that was that was cool. Ponytail, no. If I'm doing that noise, I think that means we're done.
No knee tail.
I like that. It's a no knee tail. Good one, Ryan.
Thanks. I'm here all week, except I'm not.
Having you on the show was a success, just for that pun.
Thank you.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome.
Didn't do much ice stuff.
I didn't. Ice forgot about it.
That'll do.
There you go.
We can't beat that. Let's end there because
can't
we
can't top that one.
Can't
you,
top no. that one.
So Ryan, if people want to find out any of your hair-based puns,
yeah,
where can they go?
Well, I am on Twitter at Ryan1138. Two ones in 11.
Oh Christ. And I'm twitter.com/evilninjaphil.
And I am twitter.com at chipper2peasandchipper.
And also don't forget to go to the website aboteducation.com. You can leave some comments on the post, that'd be nice, because no one ever leaves any comments on anything.
Yeah. You should also go and look at some posts that I've done.
What, in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
I did some once.
I've been posting this week. I did videos and posts and all sorts.
But Phil, you're the only one that obviously cares.
Brian's got more free time.
I've
like
been incredibly busy. You've got a wife and a kid. God, I have not talked for 3 months.
I'll tell you how busy Ryan is. Ryan's been busy getting all the feathers in the Assassin's Creed 2 to get his platinum trophy.
Platinum trophy, bitch. Took me 5.5 hours.
Yeah,
I've never got anything above a bronze trophy in any PlayStation game that I've played. They're just pointless.
Don't tell Ryan; you're gonna break it inside.
I want to make him cry.
Things off my life goal list.
I want to make him cry.
You are. This is like the entire fabric of his life just got destroyed then.
Well, the last 3 months are pretty much pointless. I should have never quit my job.
Trophies aren't real currency.
I thought if you get a platinum one, they actually post you a real trophy.
That'd be awesome if they did. Yeah. Send you a real trophy in the post with like a little presentation and all sorts.
They don't know. It's been 2 weeks.
Well, PSN's down, isn't it? What do you expect? Oh, God.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do next week.
I don't know either. Something.
I think Martin might be back, so we might do something with Martin. I don't know. If we still choose to keep him on the podcast.
Something Star Trek-y.
Yeah. That'll be expect. Also, I just want to mention this, because we said about doing all the Turtles films last week. So I thought, I was looking around just to source the Turtle films, if I could, You can't get them in the UK.
It's really
hard
to find them, yeah.
But if you look on the internet for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Blu-ray collection from America, that thing is badass.
Is it multi-region?
I think it'll play on the PS. I don't think the PS3 is region locked for Blu-rays.
For films, it is, not for games.
Is it? I thought it was okay for films.
No, I got kicked out.
I think it is region locked for Blu-rays.
Oh, because if you look at the Turtles film collection on Blu-ray from America, the case is amazing. Look at that.
That is good.
I'll have to get
like the comic.
It's like the original 1980s comic art, and it looks beautiful.
Sweet.
25th anniversary collection that came out, I think, 2 years ago. Nothing in the UK. Nothing.
They hate us.
Is it region zero?
I don't know. That's the price in Afrikaans.
You guys sort it out.
We'll sort it out. we'll keep you updated, folks. Yeah, that's just my little moan at the end of the show, because that disgusted me, the fact that you can't easily source all three in one box set in the UK. It makes no sense to me.
You can get them somewhere, though.
Yeah,
I found them in seconds.
Well, if people, they don't release stuff, you can't buy it, what can you do?
What can you do? Yeah, exactly. It's not right, but, you know. What can you do? So on that endorsement of piracy,
peace out.
See you later, folks.
We've tested for peace, and now it's peace out.
Oh, look at that! What a way to sign off. Wait, we've reloaded the podcast, and now we're peacing out, and Robin
forever.
I'm stopping my recording now. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
And Ryan something.
In association with abadeducation.com.
1 The following song does not contain Ryan, who was in this episode. This was done with malicious intent. Enjoy.
Now everybody, have you heard? It's Lethal Watching with Phil and Jared. Don't forget Martin. He's there too. He came on later and he smells real good. We like to boogie, boogie all day. In our pants, that's how we like to dance. Would you like to see it? Uncensored style. It'll cost you money. It's £50. Lethal Watching. We talk a lot of crap. Lethal Watching. Lethal. Lethal Watching. Sometimes we make some sense. Lethal Watching. Say you're a winner by going to the cinema.